I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm.
Sing to me of the man, Muse, the man of twists and turns. Driven time and again off course, once he had plundered the hallowed heights of Troy. Many cities of men he saw and learned their minds. Many pains he suffered, heartsick, on the open sea, fighting to save his life and bring his comrades home.
That was actor Ian McKellen reading the opening of the Robert Fagles translation of The Odyssey from the Penguin audiobook. The Odyssey, from the ancient Greek poet Homer, is nearly 3,000 years old. But it's not only part of the classic canon of world literature still being read today, it's being used increasingly in helping modern combat veterans connect to their experiences and difficulties returning to civilization. Veterans groups in New Hampshire and Massachusetts and Maine are reading this work and discussing it. And at the University of Vermont, the works of Homer are being taught in a class that's open to military veterans only. Today on the show, we're going to talk with some of the people involved in that class and get into how and why Homer resonates with veterans today. John Franklin is chair of UVM's Classics Department, and he teaches the class. Welcome to the show, Professor Franklin.
Thank you very much.
David Carlson helps run the class and is UVM's coordinator of student veteran services. He's a Marine and former student veteran himself. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks for having me.
And Stephanie Wabi is of UVM Junior taking the class. She's a combat veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan as an Army medic. Stephanie, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, I want us all to have a little bit of a base of knowledge or remembrance of the Odyssey and the Iliad and Homer's works. And Professor Franklin, maybe you can, I know a professor is not going to want to give us the crib sheet here, but right. For people who have maybe read and just need a refresher, can you remind us of who Homer was and what these works were and the themes that they bring up?
Sure. Homer was an epic poet of early Greece, maybe the 8th or 7th century BC, a long time ago. Some people don't believe he was a real person, but we don't need to go down that path. The two poems, the Iliad and the Odyssey, that are attributed to him are the oldest works of Greek literature and therefore of Western literature. And they both deal with the myths surrounding Troy and the Trojan War, which, for those that don't remember, Helen of Sparta was kidnapped or ran off with the Trojan prince Paris, and her husband Menelaus and his brother Agamemnon, the high king, assembled an armada, the 1,000 ships, and went to Troy to get her back. And so the two poems are about two different segments of that cycle of stories. The Iliad deals with the time at Troy and specifically the character of Achilles, the greatest of the Greek warriors, and his wrath. We can talk maybe more about that later. The Odyssey is about the homecoming of Odysseus. He's the last hero that comes home. So after 10 years at Troy, he wanders for 10 years lost at sea. And the poem chronicles his return at the end of those 10 years and how he gets back to his home island and cleans out his palace of the evil layabout suitors that have been trying to get his wife Penelope, who's been faithful for that whole time.
And are these the two texts that you're teaching in this course, or are there others as well?
In the fall, we read the Odyssey, and we started with that one because it's about the homecoming experience, and the UVM veteran students are coming home and joining the civilian life again. And we had such a great time that everybody said, hey, let's read the Iliad too. So we're doing that in the spring term now.
David Carlson, why is it valuable to have a course at a university that is just for veterans and that is on the classics? This is not, a veterans therapy group. This is not talking about the experiences that you've gone through in war necessarily, although I'm sure that may come up. This is about reading Homer. So why is it valuable for veterans?
That's right. It is about reading Homer, and it's about the experiences of humankind going to war and coming home since the beginning of time. And I think that a lot of our veterans have gone through so many experiences in their service, whether they're combat or non-combat. When they return home and come to college campus, it's a 180-degree transition. And so this class has been a great tool that's allowed us to help build a lot more community on our campus, and it furthers a lot of UVM's inclusivity and diversity goals.
Stephanie, what are you studying at UVM?
I'm a biochemistry major right now and a writing minor.
All right. So biochemistry is very far from ancient Greek. So what inspired you to take this class?
I actually got the notification about this last semester, very close to I didn't even know if I was going to sign up for it, but I was new to the school and I wanted to make new friends. And what better way to make new friends that are also veterans than to join this class? And it's helped me really find a community with other veterans who, like David said, are coming home. You're going to school with like 18, 19-year-olds and you don't know where you fit in. You're 26, 27. And this is just a great way to find a community.
Beyond the community part of it, which I can see is extremely valuable, are you getting anything out of the texts as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's very entertaining reading about it. I read these two books in high school how many years ago? So it's nice to get back into it. And we've also talked about like movie nights, other ways to get together. Professor Franklin's actually doing a play this Friday through Saturday. So it's nice to just have that kind of group feeling.
Do the texts resonate in a different way reading them now that you're older and some of the military experiences you've gone through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, reading the Odyssey, it just resonated with me a lot because when you come home, you know, it was written, 2,800 years ago. But it's the same feeling. When you come home, you don't know if your partner is the same way. They feel the same way. You don't know if your family's still there and they feel the same way about you. You don't know how to adjust to anything coming back home from that war zone and you know, being away from family. So it definitely helped me reflect, do a lot of reflecting, self-reflecting, and understanding myself better.
Professor Franklin, has this led to reflection and deeper understanding for you? I assume that these texts, you know these works very well by now. So is it different teaching this class?
It is actually quite different because when academics tend to be interested in certain things, you know, linguistic forms and historical questions about the composition and, the use of the texts in society in Athens, after they were written and so on. And myself am particularly interested in the tradition of poetry, how it was composed, sung, and so on. So I look for certain things. But these classes have been amazing for what the veterans have pulled out of them. So one great example would be in the Iliad when Achilles withdraws from the war because Agamemnon has stolen his spear. His girlfriend basically that was won by the spear, and that's what throws him into the wrath, and he withdraws from battle. They send an embassy to talk him back around, and he's sitting there playing to the lyre, and he's singing the famous deeds of men, the Kleia Andron, which means epic poetry. And I'm always interested in that from the point of view of, the warrior represented as a singer, and Achilles has to decide whether to go home and live a long, happy life of obscurity or stay at Troy and die young and become famous and a subject of epic song. And most scholars are interested in the episode for that reason. But we just read this a week or two ago, and the veteran said, no, he's away sick, which is was a new term to me. We know about homesick, and which is in Greek nostalgia, and that's what the Odyssey is all about. Away sick is when you miss being at the front with your comrades and you miss the experience. So he's withdrawn from the battle, and it's like he's playing with his sword or drawing pictures of battles in the sand by singing these epic songs.
And that was new to you?
I never looked at it that way, yeah. And it's been many such moments.
I see Stephanie and David both nodding to that.
Yeah,
David,
absolutely.
That resonates with you?
It does so much. And I think that a lot of veterans still feel that away sick, and they feel the lack of camaraderie that they had when they were in the military, especially serving in a combat zone. And that community that we've built around that, those shared experiences, has been really helpful.
We're talking today about a class at UVM teaching the works of Homer and teaching them specifically to a class that's open to veterans, military veterans. We're learning a little bit about the class, we're learning about the texts, and we're learning about the kind of conversations that happen among the students and with Professor John Franklin, some of the things that he's learning that are perhaps revelatory in this ancient text and how it connects to modern warfare and the modern experience of coming back. David Carlson, can you talk a little bit about how this class came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I hear from veterans returning and coming to UVM so much is that they don't know what their next mission is. And that can lead to a feeling of being lost and wandering. And I think it's so important that we understand that the Iliad was the first 10 years. The Odyssey is equally a 10-year journey to come home. And because our veterans feel, at least I've felt in the past, that it's taken the same amount of time that I was away just to come home and readjust to the civilian world, especially Vermont and a campus like UVM, which is a bustling epicenter of Burlington, you know, I think that the course has been incredibly helpful.
There are plenty of war classics and books that speak to the experience of war, the experience of returning, the fog, the confusion. I mean, you can think of more modern books like The Things They Carried and you know, even books that stretch back. Why is reading an ancient Greek text? I mean, we're talking about people who are turned into swine. We're talking about spears. How is this relevant to the modern experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And some students approached me initially with that same question. And John and I have talked about this. I think that it's so similar because it's the story of mankind, of humankind. And it, you know, because they're so old, it gives us this this intergenerational sort of distance that allows us to engage with the text a little bit better without some of the maybe political affiliations from the things they carried about Vietnam or other more modern combat texts.
Stephanie?
I agree with that. I was going to say the myths, you know, the Hera, you know, the goddess and gods and everything like that. It makes it so it's not so serious and it's relatable, but it's not so relatable that people are going to have like flashbacks or, you know, PTSD, depression. It's relatable, but it's not so relatable, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does. And what for you is the value of having this class that you can discuss your experiences, but in relation to these ancient texts? I mean, why do you want to, I guess, sort of bring them back up, but have this conversation with fellow veterans around these texts?
Because it's not like a group therapy setting. There's no like stigma around an Odyssey class or an Iliad class. You know, you're not pressured to talk. You can talk if you want to. You don't have to talk. And I think that helps us open up more to each other. If it's, you know, we got to know each other. I think the first couple classes that we had, it was only John and a few other students who talked, and then slowly we started opening up to each other, and after that we were able to be comfortable with each other and say, hey, after reading this I felt this, or I completely agree with how Achilles would act because, you know, this is how I felt when I was on a mission. Mm-hmm. There is no pressure on having to open up and say like, this is how I feel because, you know, ...
John, how do you grade the class and how do you think about how this fits into an academic curriculum for these students?
Grade the class? next question, please. Well, so it's an experimental class so far, and David and I really wanted to minimize the sort of authority distance between the two of us who are, we call ourselves co-facilitators of the class.
I noticed Stephanie called you John, not Professor Franklin.
I like that. Students used to call me by my first name more, but now I'm getting older. It happens less and less. So it's nice to be back with some older students too. So to minimize that distance, we thought, you know, at first we thought pass, fail. The students preferred to have it graded. And so we thought, you know, the whole experience is about reading the text and coming together and what we can experience from each other from having read them. And so we just give them a very, earnest pitch at the beginning saying, look, we're all in this together. We're going to get the most out of it if we all pitch in together. And since they were all in the military, they very much have that kind of frame of mind. So people show up and they've read the text and we read it. And so don't tell this to the administration. I hope you're not listening. But
I'm sure they're not.
We're just so far grading it on attendance because we assume if you're there, you're getting something out of it.
And that seems to be working.
I think so.
And you feel like the students are engaged. Nobody's taking this as a gut.
Oh, my gosh. It's been like, you know, there's been days I've gone home at least when you can't sleep at night because of, you know, all the stimulation, all the incredible conversations and insights and so on. So it's definitely a rewarding class.
Does this change your scholarship?
That's a good question. I haven't, it hasn't been going on for too long, and we don't do a lot of scholarship during the year because we're teaching so much. I expect that long term, I will see some things different. One example currently, Stephanie mentioned earlier that we're putting on a play, the Helen by Euripides, And it's about the Trojan War cycle. It's an alternative facts version in which Helen didn't run off or was not abducted. She was put in Egypt for safekeeping, and she's been like a Penelope, faithfully waiting for Menelaus, who in the meantime has recaptured a phantom double from Troy. And he shows up, and he's got two Helens that look alike, and hilarity ensues. So as we've been putting on this play and making a new translation and interpreting it, the parts on the stage and so on, it is definitely shaped the way I've seen the text. So, for instance, when Menelaus, the hero, is on stage talking about how he suffered at Troy and so on, I'm paying attention to different things in what he says than I would have before. So I'd say, yes, it has affected my scholarship.
Today we're looking at a class that ties ancient warfare to modern and explores some of the universal experiences combat veterans share, regardless of their war, their era. With me in the studio are John Franklin, chair of the UVM Classics Department. He teaches the veterans-only class Reading Homer. David Carlson helps run the class and is UVM's coordinator of student veteran services. He's a Marine and a former student veteran himself. Stephanie Wabi is a UVM junior taking the class. She's a combat veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. We got a note from Cliff in Bristol who says, I quit college in 1967 to join the Marines and was in Vietnam as a mortarman, returning in 1969. After two divorces and half a dozen relationship train wrecks, I returned to college in 1992. It was for a college study that I put an exhibit of Vietnam photos up on the walls of my restaurant in Vergennes, and my war experience came charging out of the closet. I was going to quit the program, but my advisor directed me to read the Odyssey and write a paper about my own experience. Reading it triggered a flood of emotion and the realization that the feelings I'd struggled with were not about my being home and all screwed up, but my attempts to actually get home. It was like Odysseus was talking to me personally, and it influenced me so much I wrote a play for my senior thesis where I called out to him personally for help guiding me and my fellow vets home from war. Odysseus replies that he's been the subject of countless studies but has never had someone want to talk to him directly, so he answers. And we talk about how the Greeks used the gods to talk about what we now call PTSD. Bottom line of this is that this ancient wisdom not only saved my education, it probably saved my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. Powerful. Wonderful story.
Yeah. And does that resonate with you, especially, David? I mean, you look at how to help integrate students who are veterans at UVM, how to work with their experiences, how to maybe bridge the divide between veterans and non-veterans, people who have no idea what the experience of war is like, what the experience of being in service is like, and then what the experience of trying to return is like. And here's Cliff, you know, doing exactly what you're doing here in this class and saying that Homer saved him in some way, too.
Absolutely. And I have heard that, or we have read other folks who have used Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, notably Jonathan Shea. And at UVM, you know, one of my main goals is working with students who have military experience and how to transition back into the civilian world. And it's so incredibly inspiring to see how well the students have taken to engaging with these texts, and in a way that, you know, reading the Odyssey for me in high school was just a chore. Reading it today, I think, wow, this is truly amazing work. And the way that it's affected our students has been, I mean, you can just see the smiles, the community that it's built.
Do you think it's a difference for you now because you're more mature, you're older, you know, you're more sophisticated,
yeah,
or
yeah,
is it because of your experience?
I think it's both. I think maturity adds a lot. You know, I went into the Marine Corps right after high school and served 4 years in the infantry and then came back to college. And when I recognized that the post 9/11 GI Bill was paying for my tuition, paying my housing stipend, and allowing me to have this wonderful opportunity of engaging in academic realm for the first time in a way that I really wanted to be there, that was incredibly inspiring. And I think you see that in the students who are in our class.
We got a note from Randall who says, I'm curious to know if any surprising connections are being made between the veterans' experiences and the parts of the Odyssey less talked about, for example, the Lotus Eaters or Circe's Palace. Mm. Stephanie, I'm going to turn to you first. You're taking the course. Any connections that you see?
I'm thinking about Circe's Palace. Is that the one where they...
Yeah, she enchants the men, turns them into
pigs.
Oh,
my gosh. I think we got into, like, a talk about this in class about, like, women's roles and how, like, oh, the woman is always, you know, the left wife or the seducer or the mistress, and it's never a strong, you know, like, a soldierly role. And I think that was one of the topics where we got into it about how nowadays women are taking much more stronger roles. You can join the infantry if you want to. And yeah, I think Cersei's palace was definitely one of the big things that like had us talking about that and how like women are more appreciated nowadays versus, you know, during the Odyssey and the Homer.
Do you feel like the texts resonate with you as a woman in the same way that they do with some of the men in your class?
Yeah, I think they do more. I mean, I was a soldier. I was, you know, front lines. I was a combat medic. And so I see it from better from the men's point of view. But I think I would have, you know, I also see it from like the female's point of view, obviously being a wife of another service member. So it helps, you know, both personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah. So when we think about like the Lotus Eaters, it's this idea of if you've been wounded in combat, you might have a whole lot of different opioid type drugs that have helped you in your recovery. And if you continue to use those or abuse them, that you can never truly return home. And that's a juxtaposition that I just never put together before this class, even though so many of my friends and veterans I know have had that as a very real struggle post being wounded.
Yeah, this is one of the things that Jonathan Shea goes into. He reads the wandering episodes of Odysseus, the famous ones everyone thinks of as being the Odyssey, the Cyclops and the Lotus Eaters and Circe, as a kind of allegory for the homecoming experience, that even if you're at home, you're, you know, emotionally or psychologically going through a lot of those experiences. So you can be at home without being at home. And that's sort of the self-medicating is one example of that.
You mentioned Jonathan Shea. There's also a Dartmouth professor who's been really instrumental
yes.
in getting this work into veterans
Correct.
Groups
right.
around the
that's,
region.
That's right. That's Roberta Stewart at Dartmouth. I met her a couple of years ago at our professional conference, and she was going up and down the Starbucks line introducing herself, and we got talking, and I was immediately fascinated by what she was doing, and we invited her up to UVM last year. I approached David, and he said, yeah, let's do this. And we filled the Memorial Lounge at Waterman, which is our big hall. It was packed, standing room only. A number of veterans came. And at the end of that, Abby McGowan, Associate Dean, came up and said, great, let's try to do something like that here too. And so we put – that's how it got started. Mm-hmm. But so Roberta's really – you know, she's been doing this for quite a while down in New Hampshire. She just got the National Outreach Award from the Society for Classical Studies for doing it. And so we're more or less a kind of franchise operation.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pamela, who's calling in from Middlebury. Hi, Pamela.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So I just want to acknowledge I'm the spouse of a veteran. But why I'm – calling in is I, in a previous job, I was a mental health therapist at a jail, and veterans are incarcerated at disproportionately high rates, I think, you know, potentially in large part because of the high substance abuse rate. And so I was wondering if there was any thought about trying to expand or extend this class into jails that have so many veterans there and who, frankly, are going to be going through a second, at some point, homecoming, first from their experience overseas or what have you, and then again when they return from their incarceration. And I just, having done therapy with that population in that setting, and I worked with many veterans, I think this could be a really powerful, less stigmatizing way of helping folks talk about their experiences.
Yeah, Pamela, thanks for your question. And, you know, in Wilson Ring's great story for the AP on this class, he mentions that this is being done in prison in Maine, for example, and there are certainly reading groups. John Franklin, is this something that you think about?
Oh, yes. So we're doing this already. So Kathy Fox, another associate dean at the College of Arts and Sciences, has organized UVM to be teaching in the Vermont prisons. And this is the first year doing it. And one of our professors, Penny Evans, is doing that this term, and she's reading mythology. So she's touching on some of these same sorts of stories with the inmates there at the women's facility.
And is this through the Bard Prison Initiative, or is it separate?
It grows out of the Bard Prison Initiative. So they introduced it very early on, and they had some of their best success early on with reading the classics for some of the reasons we're talking about. They even had some interesting occasions on which they brought in people from West Point to the prison, and they had military and incarcerated readers working together. So that must have been really interesting. So right, so we're sort of again, and I guess a kind of franchise of the Bard Prison Initiative in this case,
which offers for people who are unaware, offers four credit college courses. So people who are incarcerated can be taking college credit and can even graduate from college through
this. That's right, and they have incredible student experiences. I mean, there people are just hungry to learn and to to say what they have to say, and they're turning out incredible, senior theses and learning German to read scholarship in German so they can, read things in, the original language. They're really incredible results.
Again, listeners, if you want to chime in here, if you'd like to share your experiences or ask a question, we're talking about reading Homer, studying Homer for veterans, military veterans. Our number is 800-639-2211. Again, that's 1-800-639-2211, or send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net. We got a note from Leonard who says, good for these veterans to choose to study the humanities and in particular the classics. I'd like to point out, however, that these great works continue to have relevance to all thoughtful people, those who've been through wars and those who have not. Stephanie, I'm curious to know your reaction to that, because of course they're relevant, but does that feel like, somehow discounting this course or discounting the idea?
No, I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. I think the Odyssey and the Iliad specifically resonate with veterans because the characters in the books are veterans. And I think it hits a more personal, it's more personal to us because we're coming home, we're going to war. And yeah.
We read a moment ago a note from Cliff in Bristol, and Cliff has called in. Hi, Cliff. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Great. I was motivated to call in when the caller asked about the prison thing. And my play turned out to be – it wasn't actually that good a play, but it turned out to be so personal. I only performed it a few times, but one of the times we did perform it was at the prison, and it was really – really well received. We got there and we did it on the first day of spring that they were all allowed outside, and we still had about 30 guys that chose to stay in the prison rather than go outside to do it. So I think that the class at the prison would be a great thing, and I'd even be glad to help out doing it, because when I did my play, I went down the week before and actually taught a little class or explain to them something about the Odyssey so they'd be a little bit familiar with it. So I just wanted to add that, as well as I heard you talking about Jonathan Shea. And Jonathan Shea said he has a thing going where he said that the Greek tragedies, basically, he believes and posits, came from veterans. The veterans were the ones in the audience, and the veterans are the ones performing it, because in ancient Greek, everybody was in the military. I mean, they were at war all the time. So anyway, I thought I'd do that. And the last thing is, I sent another note saying that if it turned out that I'm at the Vet Center in Burlington is thinking of trying to do something with vets along the idea of this. And my therapist there, who happens to be named Odysseus, Odysseus Manzi, he's going to be leading it. So I just needed to call back and throw in all that stuff.
Well, Cliff, I'm glad you did, and I really appreciate you sharing your experiences. John, I know you wanted to respond.
Yeah, thanks, Cliff. That's great to hear from you, and that's exactly right what you say. And also what the previous emailed comment, they're both right. I mean, the classics, not just the ancient classics, but classic literature generally, they are for everybody. They're humanities, and they teach us what it means to be human and what the human experience is. But a major part of the human experience for most of history, or all of history, has been war. And there's many other classics besides the Iliad and the Odyssey. I mean, we can learn, the Cicero's On Duties is a great one that everyone should probably read. But there's plenty of things for everybody. And the Iliad and the Odyssey are also for everybody because they teach non-soldiers about what the soldier's experience is. But, Cliff's point is also, and that Shea makes, is also very important, that in ancient Greece, most of, maybe even all, men adult men served, had some military experience. Some had a lot, depending on the period and the city and so on. But war was familiar to all of them. And this was a way, these were performed publicly, either by singers, at funerals, in some cases at Athens as major city events, where an entire population would hear them and the whole community would experience and process those ideas together. And the last point bearing on that I wanted to say is that the Iliad and the Odyssey in particular are the products of hundreds of years of this kind of a tradition. So they really boil down the experience into a very, I call it 80 proof, That's why they speak better than some other later war stories, is that they really sort of boil down what spoke most to the most number of people, and they're concentrated in these volumes.
Yeah, thanks, John. I think it's really important to understand how these works, when they were read aloud in ancient Greece or sung to the entire community or to the entire city that was there, that it helped to distribute some of the heavy weight that these soldiers carried. And increasingly, as a smaller and smaller percentage of our citizens are responsible for a majority of our war fighting, encouraging them to come home and to share their stories and to be welcomed back into the community and say, hey, we asked you to go and do a really tough job, to go and fight, and you did it, and you did well, and now welcome home. And, what you had to do and those experiences that you had, they're ours. They're our societies. They're our burden to carry, not just you.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about that, because we've gotten some comments from listeners that sort of touch on this area of who has the experience now of going to war, of being in the military. We had a listener who wanted to know, is there an opportunity for the kids of veterans to take a class like this? And Michelle says, as a veteran, I'd like to see a class with veterans and civilians. This is a time when disparate groups need to learn about each other and how to communicate with each. There's nothing like a classroom to open minds and join people. And I'm curious about that because, one of the things that I think could potentially be a burden, and Stephanie, maybe you could speak to this, mm-hmm. is if people want to say, what was your experience? Tell me what your experience was and tell me how I can be a better ally to you, because you need to unburden yourself to me. And you may not want to do that. Yeah. So through a class like this, are you able to say, read this? It's not the same. There are no mermaids in my life, but, you can understand some of the pathos if you read this, and then I don't have to be the one who's laying myself bare.
I think that that's a great idea, having a mixed class between civilians and veterans. But I think that this class specifically, the Iliad and the Odyssey, should be just for us. I think some people feel uncomfortable sharing how they feel around civilians or other people who haven't experienced, being in the war. And I think these two classes should be our own, and we can have like a different class where we can intermix with other people. But I think this is ours.
Yeah. And you'd like to keep it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, I think in the UVM context, that makes sense to have it be student veterans. I mean, there may be an opportunity down the road to also do something for civilians. Part of what Roberta's working on now, that she was trying to get NEH funding in order to more or less kind of train people to go out and do groups like this at public libraries and so on, where you could bring in, make it the mixed community. So for us, it's just the first few steps, a little bit experimental, and we really wanted to focus on the student veterans and build the campus community that way. But definitely opening it up in some way long term is a good goal.
What do you think, David Carlson? I mean, is there room for, while keeping this class for veterans, to have a class that's sort of focused on the same kind of conversation, but is more for civilians or for people who haven't had that experience, but still could be a similar way of reading the text or other texts or bringing together the groups?
I think that would be wonderful. It's such a great way to bridge what a lot of people call the military-civilian divide, and to help some of those experiences come out and for that burden to be shared by more of the population. I do agree with Stephanie. We get a lot of value by just sitting together, having that shared experience, whether it's combat or non-combat veterans. We've all got that sort of bond. And after just a few classes, we realize how close we really are.
Well, I appreciate all three of you being here today to share your experiences with us and your experiences of Homer's work, the Iliad and the Odyssey. John Franklin is chair of UVM's Classics Department. He teaches this veterans-only class, Reading Homer. David Carlson helps run the class and is UVM's coordinator of student veteran services. Stephanie Wabi is a UVM junior who's taking the class. Thanks again very much, Dolphin.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much.